Welcome to Media Partners Learning Essentials podcast, delivering engaging content on relevant workplace topics so you can become the best version of yourself at work.
We've all followed the recent news of high-profile network executives, Hollywood celebrities, TV stars, and other high-powered business people who lost their jobs and their reputations due to egregious acts of sexual harassment. On an almost daily basis, new victims come forward, recounting the graphic details of requests for sexual favors and other sexual misconduct by managers or people in a position to impact their job or career. With this spotlight on sexual harassment, employers and employees alike are asking what they can do to make sure their work environment is free of sexual harassment. The answer? A harassment-free work environment begins with you. Hi, my name is Pamela, and I'm your host for this podcast. Today, we are bringing you the audio version of Let's Get Honest, a candid and straightforward program about sexual harassment and what you can do to stop it. Although not all inappropriate conduct is illegal harassment, it's always unacceptable for the workplace. This podcast provides honest and practical solutions to a variety of workplace issues, ranging from flirting to clueless behavior and illegal predatory harassment. Our program opens with an honest look at sexuality in our society.
Let's talk about two things that seem to be moving in opposite directions: sex and work. In one direction, sexuality is in high gear. It's in every other TV show, movie, and magazine, and we won't even mention the internet. It's used to sell everything from chocolate to brake fluid. Like it or not, our culture's sex drive is full speed ahead. But step in the other direction, step inside the door at work, and it all better come to a crashing halt. At least, that's the theory.
So, how do you put your sexuality on hold when you walk into work? Is it possible to simply check it at the door? Let's join our program host as he explores this question and the reactions he gets from employees who work in a variety of industries.
How do you put your sexuality on hold when you walk into work? We generally get three reactions to this question. Reaction number one goes something like,
I don't like the question. I'm not responding to that. My private life.
My private life?
My private life is none of your business.
That's none of your business.
Reaction one, my private life is none of your business. Reaction two is more like,
my sexuality. I barely have time for a social life. If I can't flirt at work.
If I can't flirt at work?
I got nothing.
Reaction two, what's wrong with a little flirting? And reaction three,
why should I put anything on hold? I am who I am.
I am who I am.
Take it or leave it.
I am who I am. Take it or leave it.
Those are all honest reactions, right? So, what about you? How do you put your sexuality on hold when you walk into work? In our sexually charged culture, it's not easy. Let's explore each reaction in more detail, starting with the third response, I am who I am. On the surface, I am who I am, take it or leave it, is an honest, straightforward way to live. But does that mean you never change your behavior? You never edit what you say or do to avoid offending others? Imagine a preschool classroom. Young children are laughing and playing around the room. At the entrance, a handyman is hammering loudly, repairing a doorframe. But when he misses,
oh, yes! Son of a...
The startled children immediately stop what they're doing. All eyes turn to the handyman, who stares back at the room full of innocent faces.
Big gorilla!
Most of us instinctively adjust our behavior to fit our surroundings. We filter what we say and do.
Most of us, that is. The setting of our next scene is a quiet and solemn graveside funeral service. Family members are gathered around their departed loved one. Muffled crying can be heard as the minister delivers the eulogy. Then, something else can be heard.
Hello! Oh, hey, what's up with you? What? Oh, no, 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 nothing really. It's just a family thing, no big deal.
An outrageous example?
Are you kidding? I don't know half these people.
Sure. But we all know people who are missing some critical social filter. They seem to be unaware of where they are or who they're with. Whatever pops into their head comes straight out of their mouth.
Filters are a natural part of life as a social human being. At work, these same filters are the key to putting our sexuality on hold and showing respect to others.
Social filters help us navigate the world and allow us to interact with people of different backgrounds, ages, and belief systems with respect and dignity. Work filters help us keep our words and actions respectful in the workplace. The next two scenes describe the first of two work filters we present in this program. In the first scene, a man is sitting at his computer in his office cubicle. Checking again to be sure he is alone, he begins to compose an email. Subject line reads, "You're not going to believe this."
Let's say you think someone you work with would enjoy a suggestive cartoon or email. Before you send it, ask yourself, "Would I send this to my grandma?"
Before he clicks send, he senses eyes peering over his shoulder. It's his disapproving grandmother who takes immediate action.
This is appropriately called the grandma filter.
While our grandmas aren't literally in our workplace, ready to discipline with a rap of their pocketbook if we say or do something inappropriate, the grandma filter is a great way to remind us to keep our actions polite and respectful at work. Even compliments should be subjected to the grandma filter.
Let's say you think someone you work with looks particularly attractive one day. Rather than offering a suggestive remark about your coworker's body, ask yourself, "How would I compliment my grandma?"
"That's a pretty outfit."
"Oh, thank you, sweetheart. It was on sale."
See how it works? Compliment someone's fashion, not their body. Or better yet, compliment their work rather than their appearance. When in doubt, ask yourself,
"Would you say that to your grandma?"
If the answer is no, don't say it,
don't send it,
or do it. Because you know better.
You are who you are. Maybe you can't control how you think, but with your grandma filter, you have complete control over how you interact with others at work.
Reaction 3, "I am who I am," may be honest, but it has no place in a respectful work setting. Now, let's take a look at reaction number 2. What's wrong with a little flirting?
It's true that the friendships we make at work are often the best part of the job. The problem comes when friendship turns into flirting. What starts out as harmless fun can turn into something very different.
It's important to understand flirting at work and flirting in life. Our next two scenes contrast the difference. The first scene is set in a lively house party. From opposite sides of the room, Jeremy and Kim make eye contact.
That's Jeremy, 26, single, looking for love.
"Hey, I'm Jeremy."
"Kim."
That's Kim, 22, single, not interested. But that's not going to stop Jeremy from trying. And why not? It's a party. No harm, no foul. Flirting is nothing more than a small sexual advance. At a party, it's reasonable to assume that sexual advances may come with the territory. If the advance goes too far, the offended person can just walk away or leave the party altogether.
And that's exactly what Kim does. When Jeremy leans in and whispers something in her ear, he doesn't quite get the reaction he was hoping for.
What?
Offended, Kim pulls back and throws her drink at him. Then, she walks away. At work, we don't have that choice. Walking away is a temporary solution. And we can't leave. We need to earn a living. So, what would happen if Jeremy came on to Kim at work? That plays out in our next scene. Jeremy and Kim are co-workers at a rental car agency.
There you go, Mr. Brown.
Kim is working the counter, and Jeremy approaches after her customer leaves.
How's it going, beautiful?
Fine.
Are you uncomfortable with the fact that you're beautiful?
Do you have a work-related question?
As a matter of fact, I know you're new here, so you must have a lot of questions. So let me just answer a few right off the bat. Yes, I am single. Yes, I do work out. And yes, I normally...
At work, sexual advances are not part of the job description. When they're unwelcome, there's no escape. That can lead to what the law calls a hostile work environment. That happens when there's a pattern of unwelcome sexual behavior that interferes with work.
Some might argue that Kim should be flattered and just say thank you. But maybe Jeremy has repeatedly hit on her and she's uncomfortable or embarrassed. She just wants him to stop. It's important to mention that not all playful compliments, flirtatious comments, or even sexually suggestive remarks are illegal based on the court's definition of hostile work environment, sexual harassment. But any conduct of a sexual nature is always inappropriate, and it doesn't matter what the intention was.
If Jeremy's name comes up on a sexual harassment complaint, he just went from being a valued employee to a potential liability.
Good morning. Don't you look fine? Just imagine what our kids will look like.
But is that fair? Maybe Jeremy was just trying too hard to get a date. Maybe he thought he was complimenting Kim. What's wrong with that? At a party, nothing. At work, no means no the first time.
No means no the first time. Had Jeremy followed that advice, things would have turned out differently. Let's listen as our program host again contrasts the party and the workplace, and then hear what Kim's manager has to say about the situation.
Going back to our party for a moment, if this were a company celebration or any kind of officially sanctioned work event, then this is work. The rules for the workplace apply completely. But in this case, it is just a party. So what's the worst that can happen? A wet shirt, a few loose teeth? At work, it goes in a very different direction.
I'm not exactly sure what to do about this, but there's a guy on my shift who won't stop hitting on me. And it's starting to get really weird.
Can you tell me who it is?
I don't want to get him in trouble. I just want him to leave me alone.
If you feel you're being harassed, or if someone's conduct is making you feel uncomfortable, you have a very powerful recourse. Speak up. If you're comfortable doing so, tell the person who's bothering you to stop. If you've tried, or if you're not comfortable, speak to a manager or to human resources. As Kim and Jeremy both learn, employers have a responsibility to handle complaints immediately.
Kim, we take this very seriously, and it's my job to do what I can to stop this from happening. It's important that I know his name.
It's Jeremy.
Your manager and human resources have a legal obligation to stop any potential harassment. They also want to maintain a respectful working environment for all employees. So, they will meet with each person, separately and in private, to gather information and investigate the complaint.
Jeremy, did you ask Kim out after she told you she's not interested?
Not really.
What do you mean?
I mean, I haven't asked her to a certain concert or movie or
something. At work, clueless is no excuse. All that matters is what the law calls a reasonable person standard, or a reasonable woman standard. In other words, the courts only want to know how Kim, a reasonable woman, interpreted Jeremy's actions. His intentions, however clueless, are no excuse. What's wrong with a little flirting? At work, sexual advances, flirting, and innuendos can blow up in your face.
They can cost you your friendships. And if they create a hostile work environment, they can cost you your job. We suggest you avoid flirting at work altogether. Instead, to address the question, how do you put your sexuality on hold at work, consider reaction number one. Keep your private life private, especially the sexual side of your private life. In a perfect world, that would solve everything.
But what do you do when your coworkers don't believe in keeping their private life private?
Yeah. All right, so just go ahead and ask me why I haven't slept since Saturday night. Huh?
Or you observe them asking others about things which are clearly out of line.
Hey there, newlywed, welcome back. So, was it worth the wait?
The answer in situations like these is the key to solving all sexual harassment. And it begins with two words. Speak up.
Hey, Marley, give us a break, all right? Nobody really wants to hear about it.
Yeah, I just ate.
What? Oh, come on, you guys love it. No, seriously, we don't.
Wrong time, wrong place, okay?
Why are you guys so uptight today, man? We're just trying to be honest. Whatever.
Speaking up takes courage. But it's the key to stopping harassment of any kind. In the future, Farley will likely think twice before sharing details about his sex life or discussing anything of a sexual nature with his coworkers. But you don't always have to be the recipient of the inappropriate conduct to speak up. In the hospital cafe, it's a coworker who speaks up when she witnesses Fiona's inappropriate questions and teasing.
Don't be shy. We want all the juicy details.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. Come on, I tell you. Oh, what's there to be ashamed of? You're married now.
Fiona, that's none of your business. What are you doing?
Come on, I'm just kidding.
Well, it doesn't come across that way. It comes across as being rude.
Rude. Tamara.
Just because you may be comfortable mixing your private life with your work life, don't assume everyone is.
Instead, consider filtering your actions. Like the grandma filter, the business filter helps you think before you speak or act. The business filter, or if it's not about business, it's none of your business, stops inappropriate conversation. If Farley and Fiona had filtered their actions, they wouldn't have expressed their questions and comments. Speak up when you see or experience inappropriate conduct. And filter your behaviors using the grandma filter and the business filter to help create and maintain a respectful workplace. Next, we're going to take a closer look at sexual harassment. There are basically two types of harassers. Both can be stopped by speaking up. In our next scene, we meet the first type, the clueless. Mark works in a warehouse with Sylvia. And he has trouble keeping his eyes on her eyes when they're talking. Kevin, a coworker, watches their interaction and approaches Mark in private.
Hey, Sylvia, you think you could work a couple hours overtime tonight? We're short-handed.
You may know a clueless coworker.
Sure, I just need to make a phone call.
And for the most part, like them.
Appreciate it. Mark, hey, you ready for the meeting?
But if they offend you,
You
know they're offending others, get honest and speak up. They deserve a chance to fix their own mistakes.
Mark, do you realize how often you glance down at Sylvia's chest when you're talking with her?
What do you mean, I'm busted? Get it?
Are you aware of what could happen if she files a complaint? It bothers her. I've watched her face when you do it.
You think she'd really file a complaint?
That's not the point. It offends her. Now, that's not what you want, is it?
No,
I didn't think so. So, I don't know, next time just keep your eyes on her eyes, okay?
Okay.
And yes, I think she could file a complaint.
The clueless need to get a clue. If you're not comfortable doing that, make sure you speak to a supervisor and let them do it for you. And if you witness inappropriate conduct like Kevin did in this scene, speak up. Be an upstander, not just a bystander. Kevin pulled Mark aside and set him straight. Kevin could also talk to Sylvia and let her know he saw what happened and that it's not okay. There's a second kind of harasser who's far from clueless, the predator. They enjoy offending, intimidating, and victimizing people, using power and control tactics to get what they want. Often, they're in a position of authority and they can influence your job. Many of the sexual harassment allegations in the news lately have to do with this type of harasser. Unlike the clueless, predators know exactly what they're doing. The next scene illustrates how calculating a predator can be. A female employee is alone in an elevator when a company executive steps on. She's visibly uncomfortable by his physical presence and what he says to her.
Ah, alone at last. What's that perfume you're wearing? It really does it for me. But I suppose all that's part of your little tease, isn't it? Those shoes, the way that you dress.
Predators don't need to get a clue. They just need to get gone. Your company wants these kind of employees gone as much as you do. They want you to work where you feel safe and respected. Predators sometimes use threats or power for sexual favors. This is called quid pro quo harassment. It literally means this for that, and it's clearly illegal.
While a pattern of unwanted sexual conduct can create a hostile work environment, it takes only one instance of quid pro quo to be illegal. In the next two scenes, we see quid pro quo and the imbalance of power that exists between a manager and the employee. The first scene is set in the men's department of a retail store. An employee is working on a display when his manager approaches him.
Did you get my note?
I think you've got the wrong idea about me.
I don't think so, Ricky. I've seen you look at me. I know your little secret, and I'm good at keeping secrets. Besides, I'm not talking about a long-term thing here, just a little fun. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong is that I'm not interested in seeing you, so please just drop it. I mean, we work together. Let's just keep it that way.
No, actually, you work for me.
Unlike the previous two scenes in which the predator approached the employee without witnesses, this next scene shows us that sometimes other employees know exactly what's going on. Let me set the scene for you. Kenny is a young, attractive new hire who is called into his manager's office to discuss a financial report.
You wanted to see me?
Hi, yes. Come in and close the door.
I've got the Johnson report you asked for.
Oh, great.
I was taking a look at the figures, and if you look here...
So, how are you liking it here so far, Kenny? Is everything going well?
Sure. I'm really enjoying the new challenge.
Yeah.
So the figures I was looking at earlier...
Can I tell you something in confidence?
Sure.
I find you very attractive.
Thank you.
What, do you consider me attractive?
Sure.
Well, what type of woman are you attracted to?
Charlene and Mike are working in the common area outside their manager's office. They suspect what's going on.
How long has he been in there?
Probably feels like forever. I remember my first few weeks on the job. She really doesn't take a hint.
Something's got to be done about it. It's just not right.
What do you think of Charlene's reaction? She's not going to keep quiet. Predators and abusers count on silence from witnesses as well as their victims. So, if you witness inappropriate conduct, say something. And if you experience anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, speak up. Go to your supervisor, another manager, or your human resources department. Each of us has a responsibility to help create a respectful work environment. And always make sure your behaviors are professional and appropriate for work.
When it comes to sexual harassment, it's time to get honest. So speak up. You deserve to work where you feel safe and respected.
So be on your best behavior at work.
Filter your language for those around you.
Some conversations are better left private.
Use your grandma filter to keep your words and actions polite and respectful. And when in doubt, just keep your mouth shut.
Because you know better.
And when it comes to flirting, no means no the first time. Your intentions, however clueless, are no excuse.
What matters is how a reasonable person could interpret your actions.
And if it's not about business, it's none of your business.
Let your coworkers decide what personal information they want to share.
In the same way, don't assume everyone wants to hear about yours. Morning, guys. How you doing?
And keep your private life private.
especially the sexual side of your private life.
We all deserve a safe and respectful place to work.
It's our sincere hope that when more people get honest and speak up, respect will be valued more highly in the workplace, and sexual harassment will become a thing of the past. If you've enjoyed this podcast and you're interested in the film version or our Sexual Harassment Employee Handbook, Practical Answers to Tough Questions, please go to www.mediapartners.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Media Partners is the leading provider of original high-quality training films and learning content. With captivating content that engages employees, you can raise awareness and change behavior. For more information about other Media Partners programs, please go to www.mediapartners.com.